Now we have something else to finish up tonight, and I'm going to invite you to turn in your Bible to Romans chapter 14, and we'll get there in just a few moments. Tonight, the conclusion of what I thought would just be two sessions together, but because of wanting to open it up for any questions last week, I have extended it into the third, but we don't need very much time tonight on this matter. The question that we have been posing to each other and looking for answers from God's Word is, what should I wear to church? So far, our discussion has focused almost entirely on what would be appropriate to wear to a worship service. That is, a service at the church that is designated as the worship service, where we are striving to include the various components of worship. We have other times that we meet together, but for the worship service, we've looked at some biblical principles there. We have acknowledged together that those biblical principles are fairly vague. This is an area where Scripture is leaving quite a bit of latitude for personal decision. And yet, we can see that at least there is indication in Scripture that what you choose to wear when you worship God is one opportunity out of many opportunities, but it is one way to make a statement about how important that event is in your eyes. It was pointed out to me, though, last week that I was in qualifying just what that could look like. I was a little heavy on using the male side of the example, talking about a coat and tie as being one way that in our culture people reflect an important event. And all the aspects of culture, I'm not going to go into that. Things change and every culture is different, so forth. But it was pointed out that I didn't have much to say about how ladies show that. And that was entirely inadvertent. Didn't mean to be lopsided there in that statement. But generally speaking as well, and I have to say this in general terms, that generally in our culture here in the States, when somebody knows that they are going to an important event and they feel that their clothing should reflect that a gentleman usually wears a coat, a tie, some combination thereof, one or the other. That still is true in our society. I'm not predicting when or if that'll change. I think it probably will sometime, but I don't think that change has really taken hold yet. For women, when they are in a similar circumstance, it has generally been a skirt or a dress. That's not ironclad either. There are very dressy slacks that women can wear. So the whole thing is a little vague, which is why it's okay for individuals to decide. But we have asked the leaders in our church at our worship service to adopt those standards for our worship service. Now, I indicated last week that was only about the worship service. Sometimes we meet on other occasions, other times, in fact, quite regularly, when worship is not our primary purpose. I'm thinking specifically of, for instance, here we are tonight. It's a Sunday evening. We have never called this a worship service. It is okay that God receives honor. We hope that He does every time we meet, but it's not our primary purpose. We have other purposes, and high among those would be edification, which is why a few years ago we decided to call this Building Believers. I have become sensitive in recent months that really doesn't say all that we do here, that we other things, that even they are not designed for edification. It's good if they could be edifying, but that's not their primary purpose, such as having an annual business meeting at the end of January. We don't design business meetings in order to edify, but by God's grace, we hope that we can have a business meeting that has the result of that. But because worship is not the purpose, then all that I have said about biblical principle about how to dress, none of that, I think, applies. Same thing for prayer meeting. Prayer meeting is a different purpose from worship. At the same time, prayer is a component of worship, but we're not trying to include all the components of worship at prayer meeting. It's designed for prayer. And in fact, it was several years ago that I realized it's really not necessary for me to be wearing a coat and tie. For quite a while, I continued to wear a tie. I don't even wear a tie at prayer meeting anymore, and that's to reflect the purpose of the service. Hope nobody has interpreted that as a mark of rebellion on my part, because that's not what has been going on. Actually, quite the opposite. I think it would be appropriate to, I decided then it'd be appropriate to dress differently for prayer meeting so that the worship service would stand out all the more. Now, I have a degree, and I appreciate your patience with all of this, not just tonight, I haven't been talking very long yet, but I appreciate your patience having this go on for a couple of sessions. I'm treating this very carefully because I have a great concern. It's been a serious burden on my heart that this could be misinterpreted. The misinterpretation could be, oh, I know what's going on there at Cornerstone. They are going on the path that so many other churches are doing. They're now going to start promoting casual dress because they want people to be comfortable. I know what's happening here. Okay. I want to make it clear, nothing could be further from the truth. That would be a serious misinterpretation. In fact, the motivation for what I am about to explain, again, is just the opposite. We looked a couple of years ago at what could we do to further highlight the worship service as being the most important time when we gather together. We wanted to distinguish the worship service from other churches, other services, especially from this service. And so we made some changes there. I won't rehearse what those were, but some of those were very significant. In order to highlight the morning service, the worship service. Well, I have in the past, I had asked for our church leaders, our deacons, those on the platform and so forth, that they continue to dress up for all the services on Sunday. But a few months ago, I rescinded that among our deacons and their wives for this service. Now, I did that quietly, thinking it might be better for that just to sort of happen gradually. And I'm sure that some have noticed that, well, look at Tim here. He used to wear a nice bow tie on Sunday night. And we are depriving ourselves of the benefit of seeing that bow tie by that change that I made. But you know what, Tim? It's okay. In fact, I can do without a bow tie anytime. I said, no. No, you wear your bow tie anytime you want to. But the point here is that I have just told the deacons, I don't think it is necessary. It is perfectly fine for them to choose to do so. But that has actually been true now for some time. And so some do and some don't. Perfectly fine. This is not a worship service. At the same time, and I'm just going to grant, I am a traditionalist. I am going to continue to ask for those that lead the service right here, Tim, Pastor Chris, Chris Pennington, any others that are up here, including those that participate in a small group, solo and so forth. To me, there is still something appropriate about that here. But here's another change. I don't think that is necessary for the orchestra in the evening service. So actually, that's the one change I'm announcing tonight. the orchestra now can choose themselves what they wear for the evening service, except for next week. Okay? You already know what you're supposed to wear for the special program, the concert next week. So that stays in effect. So this is not much of a change. This is actually very slight. And that's a good thing. But I do want to give a bit of explanation, because now what that means is that for the evening service, of course, this has been true of everybody else except for our deacons and those on the platform. This has been true of everybody else all along. You have always had the personal responsibility of deciding yourself what you are going to wear, not just on an evening service, but the morning service as well. None of that has changed. But I'd like to close this study with Romans 14, because it means that everybody still has to make a choice. And what should that involve? Well, there are a few things, a few highlights from Romans 14, where clothing is not one of Paul's examples. He gives two examples, but I think that this is a clear instance of a decision and a position that people need to take individually that fits in Romans 14. That is, there is not a right and a wrong here, but there is cause for discretion. The first point of discretion is to recognize that in such an issue as what to wear to church, just as in what kind of food to eat or how to recognize a special day and so forth, using Paul's examples, that we have to expect that there are going to be differences among us. Okay, now that's not anything new. There will continue to be differences among us. But what Paul says in Romans 14 is that those differences must not ever engender disrespect of others, judging others, criticizing others. Paul is very clear about that in verse 3, where he says, "Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains." Let's update that to our current discussion. Let not the one who wears a coat or a tie or a skirt or a dress despise the one who does not. And let not the one who does not pass judgment on the one that does. For the Lord, for God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another in an area where Scripture has not given explicit commands? Now, verse 5 is particularly important, because pointing out once again that there will be differences on such an issue, he says at the end of verse 5, each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. Convinced about what? Convinced that their decision is the right thing for them. How can you be so convinced? How can you know this is the right thing for me to wear? Well, let me suggest a couple of wrong methods. Well, that's what I like. Or I don't like that, so I'm not going to wear it. This is more comfortable for me. That would not be so comfortable. Valid? No. Paul says that is not the basis on which you make such choices. And he gives the basis beginning in verse 6. And he again refers to the examples that he has already brought up. And so to put this into our context, we could say the one who, quote, dresses up. I don't really like that phrase, but you know what that means. The one who does it to honor the Lord. And the one who does not dress up for any particular service does it in honor of the Lord. Now, we've discussed previously what this means. In fact, we had a study on this passage of Scripture, on this chapter, this past summer. And it was that study that prompted this question that I thought we would get to sooner than this. But that's why we're having this discussion now, because it was a question that came to me after reading through this. Does this apply, was the question. Does this chapter apply to this issue? And my answer was yes, it does. What it means to honor the Lord means what would accomplish the Lord's advantage. What would best accomplish His purpose? What clothing choice could I make that would best serve Him? And it's not an easy answer. I mean, still, the answer could be either way. But the point is, that's the question you have to ask. Not what would please me the most, what would please the Lord? And if you will agree to ask that question seriously and ask it of the Lord, and then do how He directs you, we'll be satisfied, all of us. And there's no room then for any criticism or judgment of each other. If any of this bothers you, and I mean seriously, if this is a disturbing statement tonight, conclusion to come to, I would just urge you, talk to me about it. Let me know that maybe suggest to me that there's something here that I didn't make quite clear enough. You didn't quite get it. I maybe can do better. I'd be happy to try. And I'll do that in personal discussion with you, and I welcome that. In fact, I need to have that. I need the opportunity to explain this better if you are unsettled by any of this. I'll just pray that God would give us all grace to love each other, accept each other, and even individually decide on the best way to accomplish the Lord's purpose.